You're listening to Mr. Radio, and I'm your host, Marshall. For the past 92 years, Dorothy Knepp has been and continues to hone her musical skills in a variety of ways. I was recently invited to visit with her in her enchanting ranch home in Ridgewood, New Jersey, where she took me on a tour of her hallway photo gallery.
And then I wanted to scale down to a 1-4 house and found I had a big long hall back to the bedrooms. So I thought, what am I going to do with this? Well, this is what I've done. I'll start over here. This is when I was in the opera in Cleveland. I was the mother of Amal.
Our interview was occasionally interrupted by a tiny guest who Dorothy happily introduced to me.
We haven't introduced this person.
This is Lena.
Does Lena speak?
Lena is deaf, completely deaf, and she might think this is something you're offering her to eat because it's lunchtime. I've got the heat turned up, I don't need that much heat. It's a beautiful day, finally. No rain. So, if I will eat here. It's a little crowded, but when she comes up, she'll be fine. This is good. Yeah.
As Mary Martin said in Sound of Music, why don't we start from the very beginning? A very good place to start.
Sure.
Where were you born?
I was born in my back bedroom, my mother's back bedroom, in Navarre, Ohio, a small town that was once destined to be the center of the county because it was on the Erie Canal. Well, then it moved to Canton. Navarre remained a small village. The main industry was a very large Swiss baking business. Started out small, of course, but then it grew into one of these large tri-state bakeries that had the big semi-trucks that delivered bread, rolls, everything. But at the time when my father immigrated from Switzerland in 1925, I believe, by himself, he had been part of a family that was in the food industry, milk, of course, Swiss. Milk products, milk, cheese, eggs, and things like that that people would come to buy. So when he came to this country, he remained in the food industry wisely, because when the downturn economically, people still had to eat bread. And he grew in that bakery situation from a salesman driving a bread truck the way they had milk trucks in those days, in the early 30s. And he stayed there for, probably about 30 years. Because...
A phone call during this interview brought out another interest that Dorothy was pursuing.
Oh, Jackie Smith. Can I... This will be very short.
Sure.
Hello, Jackie. Yes. Do you know what I'm looking for? It is indeed, thank you, metrophysics.
This is noise.
Oh, meta? And then another word? Or is it metaphysics? Okay, good. Thanks, Jaxie. Talk till later. Bye-bye.
Metaphysics.
That's my latest interest.
Tell me about metaphysics.
I don't know what to tell you till she gives me a lesson, but I'll tell you, I have been long interested in the universe, how it energizes people within it, and when we're born, we are part of that universe, and We do with it with our strengths, limitations, gifts, what we will. Either we're as good can be or as bad can be. We don't come either way, but we have choice.
So you're planning to take a course on metaphysics?
Yes.
I don't even know what metaphysics is.
It's beyond me as well. That's why she's going to teach me. But she's one of my friends who is very knowledgeable in all things astrological. I have found that astrology is very helpful. Many people have no idea what it is, but it sounds spooky because the early religions said it was of the devil. But in the early days, people didn't watch TV. They lay on their ground at night and watched what the constellations were doing and what was happening. And year after year after year, if they kept good records, they found similar things happening. But you probably know all that.
Are you ready for the total eclipse?
I don't have glasses, but Lydia has a will share baby. I really want to see it. It'll be my last. For sure.
Back to the bakery.
Sure.
Do you remember the smells of the bakery?
Do I ever. Every time they opened the ovens and the bread came out, it was like floating out someplace on a cloud. Yes, it was heaven.
Was anyone in your family musical? Because you have quite a background in music.
Yes, for sure. My sister is a professional singer, but she was destined to be a professional singer, and that's what she studied. She did some New York things, was in the first cast of The King and I, and they made her dye her beautiful strawberry blonde hair black instead of putting a wig on her. Wouldn't that have been nicer? My father's family, for sure, very musical. His father, as a child, played a violin and loved that instrument so much. But his father found him practicing and playing in the barn and smashed the instrument. So he said he'd never do that to his children. So when he had four boys and they grew up, learning to play accordions, clarinets, no alpa horns. We weren't up in the mountains quite that high. And it was Thun, Switzerland, down in the valleys along the lake. But these four boys had an ensemble, which they would take their skiff out on the boat and row out in front of the very famous 1920 hotels where the well-to-do people vacationed. They would be dining out on the terraces, and the four Shirley boys played music to the delight of the people in the restaurants. The heads were given paid to do this. This was one of their fun things to do. So when my father came to this country, he brought along his accordion and his clarinet and had a nice little Swiss orchestra. And when our Swiss gatherings happened on August 1st, the day of independence, that Switzerland became a Switzerland out of the three cantons, they would have festivals. And they would play music, and we would dance. And I learned from my father how to do a waltz and a polka and a schottische, and it was wonderful.
When did you decide to start singing?
I always sang as a small child. I also wanted to be a tap dancer. And when they had parties at their house, I would get up on a table and tap dance for the guests. And they would applaud. But that wasn't to be my destiny. So when I went to Oberlin College, I planned to be a music education teacher because I loved that class. And all school activities. But then I almost fell backwards into a career of singing when, as an adult, I learned that we were living outside of Cleveland. I was teaching school, loved teaching, had a wonderful career. But I saw in the paper, Cleveland Plain Dealer, that Robert Shaw, who was then an assistant conductor to George Zell and the famous Cleveland Orchestra, was going to have a project of sacred music in the religious churches, concert halls, and bring back the great music of Bach. This was a project. He was going to do it in a Unitarian church in Shaker Heights. It happened to be the church that started in Cleveland and during the Black is Beautiful beginnings. It moved eventually out to the suburbs where the white people went. So I became interested in that. I went in and I auditioned bravely for this great man, Robert Shaw, and got a call from the manager and said, Mr. Shaw would like you to be the soloist of the solo quartet. I said, oh, I'm not a singer. I'm just a choral singer. I'm not a soloist. Oh, well, yes, he's decided. You will fit the quartet. Your voice is just the right one he wants. So I said, well, he doesn't have to pay me. Oh, yes, he will pay. Anyway, there I was at the beginning of a world-shaking change in my life. And I spent 6 years of my life with this man, this great man. Dr. Killam was a minister there in the Unitarian Society, and kind of a Robert Shaw drinking group. They had a few wealthy patrons. They changed the back of the church there in Shaker Heights to a large mezzanine. Jimmy Levine was our pianist, who recently died, but I knew Jimmy when he was 22, and we sang and he played, and they had a solo quartet of string instruments from the Cleveland Orchestra. They spent just tons of money, a special organ, a Renaissance type early organ. I learned so much from this great man.
Did you get to travel with them?
I did.
And where did you go with them?
Oh, one place that I'll never forget was Puerto Rico, where there was the university and the great conductor who left Spain when Franco came into power, Casals. And I was a soloist with the oratorio group there. We did several concerts there. That was a wonderful experience to have this great man, Casals. He was actually a wonderful world-class cellist and conductor. So that was one of them. But then with other groups, I traveled to Europe many times. I never got to go to Russia because that was when we adopted our children, our first child. And Russia had just been opened up, but the group that I was with did go, so I missed that.
How many years did you spend with the chorale?
6 years, till he traveled. He left Cleveland and went to Atlanta to assume the prime conductor of that group. And he did some wonderful things with that audience. He was a very accepting, progressive man. When he had, I remember a good friend of mine, one of the soloists in our group, black tenor, wonderful singer. In Atlanta, he was in one of the soloist oratorios with the orchestra and some of the audience. They left. They walked out.
Did you experience through him any
Absolutely.
Racial issues?
And when we did spirituals, Shaw arranged many spirituals. He was a very strong promoter of early music, of course. And Alice Parker, he and Alice arranged a great deal of music. But when we sang that, those black spirituals, I learned a completely different way of using my voice and, of course, the text. And I remember during a rehearsal one Saturday, we would rehearse for 4 hours on every Saturday for the two-hour service on Sunday. And I remember seeing our head custodian of the church in a doorway down in the church floor, and Shaw turned around, looked at him, and then he said to us, "Sing like him." And boy, we sang like him. Shaw was a wonderful man. He had his problems, issues, but there was no one like him at the time. Fred Waring, he was quite famous in the choral world, but Shaw, we called him the Great White Father.
Well, you've piqued my interest. What were some of his issues?
Alcohol. Family matters. That kind of thing.
After you finished with the chorale, where did your career go then?
We moved to, first to New Haven, where I was very involved with the Yale music programs. We lived there. Mostly, we did have some interesting moves. Coming from Ohio, it was really an adventure to move to an eastern city with a wonderful university. And so we would move because of my husband's work. And we were there for a few years. And then the BART program in San Francisco opened up and needed some engineers. So we moved to California and spent a few years there till the BART project was finished, and then came back to New Jersey. That was the next last move, and I've been very happy. But every place I went, I was very involved with the music groups.
You said that your early ambition was to teach music. When did you start teaching music?
Well, when we got to Richwood, I was not singing as much. I did all the churches, every denomination, and the Christian churches and the Jewish high holy days. I even played the role of Esther in an opera in a wonderful Reformed Jewish temple in New Haven. I was very active in Presbyterian churches in Englewood and here in Ridgewood at Westside Presbyterian. They had a wonderful music program under the Rodlands, and so I was doing a lot of solo work with their groups. Then, and I would be asked to teach children and young adults. The high school had a wonderful program, the New Players. So I had tons of those kids coming for lessons and recitals. And I remember I would plow through thrift shops and find gowns and tuxedos, and we would do up those recitals big time.
You said your passion was for Renaissance music, Bach. What do you think about today's music?
as far as music goes today, it's very, very important in the world, of course. But every program that I see, a cooking show, it seems, down to travelogues, seem to think they need music. And as an older person, I'm 92 now, I wear hearing aids, and that interferes greatly. So I think music has its place, especially in a beautiful concert hall where you hear all the sounds properly played.
Though she no longer teaches, Dorothy reminisced about her many students.
I no longer teach, and I miss that, but fortunately, some of my students still come back to see me with their children, and I communicate with them. Oh, I will mention Allie Stroker, who in a few years back won a Tony for her work in the revival of Oklahoma on Broadway. And in a wheelchair, she came to me after this automobile accident when she was 2 years old. Her father, Jack Stroker, came to my door one morning and said, "But hey, you work with young children. I understand you're a Suzuki teacher. Would you take Allie on?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I'd love to, but I first would like to go down to the hospital and talk with her nurses and doctors and see what abilities she might have that I could help." So I did that. Both children, Jake, had injury, and Allie was not able to walk ever. She broke her spinal cord, and the accident had happened. In those days, car belts did not have shoulder straps, and the thrust forward broke her cord at the seventh degree, and so she would not walk. And they used to bring her in her little red wheelchair, beautiful little blonde curly girl, and she would sit on my lap, put her arms on my hands on the keyboard, and play early children's songs, mostly German folk songs in the Suzuki method, and sing, and we would make up the words and sing along. And so she came weekly, and now this is her life. She has had a baby, Jesse, a beautiful little boy. He's about 1.5 now, and she came to see me a few weeks back with her mother in her wheelchair, carrying that little baby on her lap. And we were able to get her in my house, and we had a lovely time. She's doing a lot of cruise singing now, and a wonderful child, grown into a wonderful woman who is a motivator for children who have handicaps. And she continues to sing and do concerts, and other children who have had Broadway careers, and those who just have had all kinds of work. I've had a student who's now a rabbi, doctors, lawyers. I'm so proud of all these children.
Do you still sing?
No. You could hear my voice. I'm not a singer.
Do you still play the piano?
My hands are not so good anymore. No, I'm sorry, I don't. But I read music. I go through all some of my library that I've been cleaning out now. And I listen in my head to the sounds of the music that we sang. That's what I do now.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you, Marshall. I did too much talking. I didn't give you a chance.
That's okay.
You've been listening to Mr. Radio, and I'm your host, Marshall. This program was written and produced by Marshall, Our theme music was played by Ululation. Mr. Radio is available wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Mr. Radio.